Good morning.
Glad you guys are here. It's a beautiful day, isn't it? A bit chilly, but hey, we're getting there, aren't we? Amen. So this morning, we are going to be observing communion and Ash Wednesday. Ash Wednesday is Wednesday of this week, but it's a lot easier for everyone to be together on Sunday morning. So we're going to observe Ash Wednesday together this morning. And we'll go over, you know, what Ash Sunday, because, you know, some of these things we just do and we just take it for granted that everybody else knows why we're doing it, right? Well, Ash Wednesday is the start of Lent. And what Lent is that's 40 days from the day to Easter, where we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So we're on a journey. Lent starts our journey to the cross with Jesus. What you're supposed to do is during this journey of the next 40 days, it's our reflection. It's taking a self-examination. How do I reflect Jesus in my life? How do I worship Jesus? Do people know? And that's more we're going to talk about through our service today. But anyway, I just kind of wanted to give those that are new to Ash Wednesday, to celebrating Ash Wednesday. That's why we do what we do. And we're glad you're here for it. And it's an extra special because we get to celebrate communion together too. Some other announcements. We had to change Bobby and Tina's wedding date. It's going to be April the 6th. Yeah, April 6th. Same time, same place, just different date. So it's a little bit earlier in April. And then Palm Sunday is April 13th. April 17th is Maundy Thursday. And Easter egg hunt, Saturday, April the 19th. I hope you're excited. Do you walk into the stores and look at all the stuff and go, already? I'm sorry, but I love it. In fact, I took selfies with all the Easter stuff in Walmart because throughout this time, I'm going to be putting on Facebook and up on the screens Easter stuff to remind you. We need candy. We need eggs. We need little gift basket stuff. And I know I looked ridiculous and I didn't even care because I was making funny faces like, I'd never seen it before, pointing. I didn't care. It was funny. Yes, April the 19th, that's Saturday. If you want to come at 10 to help us hide all the eggs and get everything ready, we are more than happy to have you help us. We have tons and tons of eggs, so we would be really happy, but the festivities start at 11:30. So 11:30 is when the egg hunt starts. And then after, we have a luncheon and we get to play resurrection bingo with the kiddos. And it's a lot of fun. The eggs are out here. So if you want to grab a bag, April and the girls have put some grocery bags together. There's 50 in each. Thank you. So you just grab a bag, fill it, bring it back. Whatever will fit in them. I think there was one time Wayne got these little squishy things. They loved them. They were trading them. It was like trading cards. They loved it. Some like quarters. Some people put quarter stickers. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be candy, but, you know, just something kids will like. Stuff like that. I'm so happy you're here. Sunday's my favorite time of the week. I'm glad you're here. So before we go to praise and worship, after we do the prayer, I'm going to have Candace come up because Candace and Chris are going to take our older kids up during worship. And then they're going to come back down for communion and Ash Wednesday. So we have something special for Candace, since she will be going on her trip to Washington, D.C. next Sunday. She's leaving. She was picked out of all the students in her class for social work. At Ohio State, she was chosen to go to Washington, D.C. to speak to Congress about some social justice issues, and just it's a great opportunity. So as her church family, we wanted to support her and encourage her, and we're going to pray over her for her safe travel. She's going to be driving herself to Washington, D.C. So just to give you a little hint, that's what we'll do this morning. So let's pray. Let's prepare our hearts, our minds to receive this morning. And Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning with hearts open in expectation. And as we gather for this Ash Wednesday service, the service with communion, we recognize our need for your grace, your mercy, and your transforming power, because we don't want to be the same, Lord. We don't want to be the same. And those that have been transformed by the work of your Son, Jesus Christ, we give all the praise and all the glory that we are not the person we used to be. We acknowledge that we are dust, and dust we're going to return. But we rejoice that in Christ, your Son, we find a promise of a new life. And it's just not a new life that we have to look forward to in eternity. It is a new life that we're able to experience and live out here on this earth. Praise Jesus. There's no one else that does that, that promises that. And as we enter into this time of worship and we reflect on communion, we ask for your presence, fill this place, remove any distractions in our hearts and our minds, our schedules that we have going on. Lord, just this section of time that we have, just in this week, to be together, to worship together, to fellowship together and worship you, stir within us that a sense of what mighty work that is, what it took our ancestors of our Christian faith to get us to this point, generation after generation, to redeem, restore, and renew. Oh, and we just thank you so much. We thank you so much that sinners like us find forgiveness and restoration through you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And we'll have Candace come up. I'll anoint her and we'll pray over her. She'll be as confident on the outside as what she's on the inside through the Holy Spirit, because that's what's going to happen. She's going to be bold in the Holy Spirit, right? Amen? Amen. Okay, we're going to pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord, as we talk about transformation, as we talk about restoration, and we talk about redemption, we give praise and glory to you for what you've done in Candace's life. Lord, she is just a strong testimony. She continues to be a strong testimony of what you do in our lives. The redemption that you do, that it isn't just for when we go to heaven. It is for us right here, right now, and the time that we live in to experience. And some may not know how big that is, but some of us really, really do. And Candace is one of those that she just knows. She knows what a big deal it is. And so we ask for your traveling mercies on her as she goes to Washington, D.C., as she goes in front of Congress and speaks about these important issues that we're dealing with, the social justice issues that we're dealing with, Lord. And we pray over the leaders that she'll be speaking with, that you open up their heart, you open up their ears, and you open up their mind to receive the word from Candace, because she's experienced it. She lives it, Lord. Just prepare them right now, throughout this week, before she even gets there, prepare them for the message that you have given to Candace, because she is that vessel that will be carrying it there to them. And we thank you so much. And when she gets nervous, Lord, when she thinks she's going to lose her words, you fill in our gaps. It says in the word that we don't have to worry about that, because the Holy Spirit works within us and you give us the words to say. Oh, and I thank that, because the Lord knows what would come out of my mouth. So know that you're going to do it for Candace. And we just thank you so much that you brought her here with us. We love her, and continue your work in her and making that strong testimony of your Son, Jesus Christ. Christ. Amen.
Oh, we're proud of you.
We can't wait to hear about it. All right, church, what's praise? Praise is not quiet.
Our greeting today is taken from Genesis 3:19 and then Joel 2:12-13. Remember that you are dust, and dust you shall return. That is why the Lord says, turn to me now, while there is time. Give me your hearts. Come with fasting and weeping and mourning. Don't tear your clothes in your grief, but tear your hearts instead. Return to the Lord your God. He is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. He is eager to relent and not punish.
That song hits different, doesn't it?
If you're at
a point in your life, or maybe you're there right now where all you've got is Jesus, or all you had was Jesus, and look how he brought you through, that song hits different. Amen. Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for allowing us to come and worship you in this sanctuary, in this place. For we know that when we are here, you are here with us. And we know that you are beside us, and you know that you know our every need, and you give us comfort, and you give us strength to go through whatever we have going on in our lives today. So we ask you to bless these gifts today so that we can go out and reach out and touch someone in your name. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. A few things to think about. Remember that every day you get to complain or be grateful. Blame others or work on yourself. Feed your fears or feed your dreams. Speak badly of others. No, or bless them. Give up or keep trying. Think of the worst or think of the best. Follow the world or follow your heart. The choices are ours to make. May God help us to make the best ones. You know, I was thinking about this. God gives us an opportunity to learn new things, but some of us are afraid to crack open the Bible. Are afraid what he might tell you, what message he might give you. But God inspired the writers of the book to help give us a guide for our life. Some people don't want to open it because they're afraid of what it says to you. And then maybe you're not following his paths. But it also is there to inspire you, to tell you that people in the Bible failed and that he raised them up. The most unexpected people were asked to do tasks for him. And they picked up, and he inspired them. And they became those people in the Bible that people looked up to. Doesn't matter what you've gone through in your life. Doesn't matter what you've been through. God can pull you out of that and lead you down the right path. Because it's only through Jesus Christ our Lord that we can have eternal life. And if we don't go out and tell somebody else about it, somebody else may not be there or they may not make it there. So it's our job as Christians to talk to others, to lead them to Christ, and to take just a couple moments, look into your Bible and see where he leads you. Amen? Let's pray the prayer, "This is my Bible. This is my Bible. It contains the word of God given to me. Tells me that I am made righteous through Jesus Christ and that I am the head and not the tail. Since I am a joint heir to the throne of glory, today I will allow what I hear to transform me to be more like Christ. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it." Amen.
We have so many experiences in our life, don't we? So many experiences that fill us, and a lot of them could fill us with excitement and anticipation and awe, right? But over time, we kind of forget about that intensity, right? That emotion, that buildup, that adrenaline fades away. And like, some people talk about when they see the Grand Canyon for the first time. and they see it, and it's just this huge, magnificent piece of natural phenomenon, and they just feel like this little ant compared to this huge cannon, and they just stand there and they look and they're like, wow. Oh. And you can remember the Grand Canyon. You can remember the first time you saw it. You don't get that feeling of when you're just standing there for the first time, experiencing it and seeing it, or seeing the ocean for the first time. I was in my 20s when I saw the ocean for the first time. And I just remember being so emotional and looking at it, and it looks like it never ends, and feeling so small, like God created all of this. And you watch the waves and you're looking and you're like, he commands them to not go too far and tells them to stop. And then you go again and it's beautiful. You think it's pretty, and I love just to sit there. And for people that live by the beach, they don't think the same way we do when we see it and when we go on vacation, because they're like, you know, it's just one of those things. It's every day for us. And I think that's so sad, because I feel like if I lived by the beach, every time I'd have the opportunity to go there, I'm like, yeah. I'd get a little excited, and they're just like, it's here. There's sometimes I just don't even go. I can't even think about that. It's not a capacity in my brain. Or, you know, major life events, riding your first roller coaster, right? And you think about it, you're going, you don't know what to expect. Are you going to get sick, puke all over everybody? Or, you know, some people could do skydiving. I don't really want that, but, you know, there's excitement, and, you know, people just go after that adrenaline, that experience. Or we have spiritual experiences too. That deep worship moment where you are just filled, you are saturated with the presence of the Holy Spirit, or you witness a miracle you've been praying for and you witness it and you're like, man, or, you know, powerful revival that brings you to Jesus. We've all had these life experiences where we're astonished, where we stand back and we're like, wow, wow. And it fades away. Why does it fade away? The adaptation, our brains getting used to things, even extraordinary ones. Right? I mean, we've had prayers answered at this church, generation after generation, healings, cancer, I mean, tumors, life, healing. And are we still looking at it like, wow, wow? Or are we kind of like, yep, he's still doing it? Expectation versus experience. Once something becomes familiar, it loses that element of surprise. Like when you ride that roller coaster over and over again, you know what turn's coming. It's not going to take you by surprise anymore. And it's that search for new highs. We crave fresh, exciting experiences, making what we have experienced in the past less thrilling. We look for something new. And I think that's part of the problem with expectations of believers and church today. They want something new. Well, guess what? The Word of God never changes. And I hope that you don't come here for a production, because I don't know, ever. We're never going to be that. Because, you know, it's like a concert sometimes. Some of the churches that you go to, it is like a concert. Because that's what the people want. They're not going to come if there's not a concert. They're not going to come if there's not something new being said and they feel motivated. And don't get me wrong, the Word of God, yes, it's supposed to inspire you. It's supposed to lift you up, but you know, this Holy Spirit working within you. Don't get me wrong. It's not like I'd want you walking out here ho-hum with your head held down. And that's not what I'm saying. But we should feel convicted. We should feel convicted. We're sinners saved by grace. But, you know, church, it's not the production of it, that new experience. And, oh, this church has got something new. They've got a new coffee area. They've got that hot chocolate and those donuts. Something exciting, something new. That's what we search for. Even though the initial awe fades away, these experiences, though, they still shape us, don't they? Inspire us. At least they should. We can revisit it and remember it. And we're going to be in Exodus 34 this morning. Exodus 34, verses 29. And it says, as Moses descended from Mount Sinai with the two tablets, that's the Ten Commandments, of the testimony in his hands, and as he descended the mountain, he did not realize that the skin of his face shone as a result of his speaking with the Lord. So his face was illuminated. His skin was illuminated from the glory of God. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, the skin on his face was shown. They were afraid to come near him, but Moses called out to them. So Aaron and all the leaders of the community returned, and Moses spoke to them. And afterward, all the Israelites came near, and he commanded them to do everything the Lord has told him on Mount Sinai. And when Moses was finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever Moses went before the Lord to speak with him, he would remove the veil until he came out. After he came out, he would tell the Israelites what he had been commanded, and the Israelites would see that Moses' face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil over his face again until he spoke to the Lord. And may God have a blessing of the reading of his word. So Moses came down from Mount Sinai. He is radiant. He is full of that spirit. He's been with God. And then after a while, it goes away. Breakthroughs, powerful experiences diminish over time unless we let them shape our daily walk. The Israelites were astonished. They were afraid of that radiant, bright light. They knew that it was from God, but their fear and their excitement faded, and their hearts remained unchanged. They didn't let it transform them, that experience. They didn't let it transform them. And also, Moses veiled his face because he didn't want them to see that it faded. He didn't want them to think that glory faded, but the law that Moses brought to us was temporary. God knew it. Moses knew it was temporary, but he needed the Israelites to think something different because they weren't getting it. They were not getting it. Just like me, sometimes I don't get it, and God just has to hit me upside the head with a ball bat. He wanted them to get it. And many of our own mountaintop experiences with God, whether in worship, revival, or personal breakthroughs, they're powerful, but they go away with time because we don't allow it to transform who we are on the inside. Our second reading is going to be from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 through chapter 4. And it starts out, this is Paul speaking to the church in Corinth. Since then, we have such a hope. We act with great boldness. We are not like Moses, who used to put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from gazing steadily until the end of the glory of what was being set aside. But their minds were hardened. For to this day, at the reading of the Old Covenant, this same veil remains. it is not lifted because it is set aside only in Christ. Yet still today, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I love that song. I want to sing every time I read that verse. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We all, with unveiled faces, are looking as in a mirror at the glory of the Lord and are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. This is from the Lord who is the Spirit. Therefore, since we have this ministry because we were shown mercy, we don't give up. Instead, we have renounced secret and shameful things, not acting deceitfully or distorting the word of God, but commending ourselves before God to everyone's conscience by an open display of the truth. We don't try to fancy it up. I mean, like, oh, no, I never did that. You know what? You're right. I was a sinner. I was despicable. I was mean. I was rotten. But look what God did. Look what Jesus did. Because that's glory goes back to him. And it's always in motion. We are never going to get there until we get to heaven. We are always to be transforming. We're always to be learning, experiencing, being taken back and astounded by what God does. Astounded what Jesus does. Paul contrasts the fading glory of Moses with the everlasting glory of Jesus. The old covenant brought temporary encounters with God. Temporary encounters? Do you have temporary encounters? Like you encounter him here on Sunday morning, but when you leave the parking lot, is that the end of your encounter for the rest of the week? I surely hope not. You haven't been listening. You haven't been transformed. I hope that it's not. The new covenant through Christ transforms us from glory to glory, unveiling the faces. And instead of covering up the glory like Moses, we are called to live opened, transformed lives. Come see it. The Spirit gives us freedom so we don't just chase spiritual highs, but we embrace a daily renewal. That, you know, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't experience those spiritual highs when the Spirit develops it, because it is Spirit developed. You can't force it. Paul reminds us that the old covenant, engraved in the stone tablets and bound by laws that people could not fulfill, right? I mean, they couldn't do it. And there's some of you, maybe you got church hurt because they told you you had to follow the law, you got to do this to be a good Christian, and you messed up, and they made you feel bad about it. Or you see what the church does, and you're like, whoa, hypocrites. Hypocrites, they act like they, you know, all goody, goody, goody two-shoes, but look at them, they're in the news. There's a scandal. Because of this, because of the law, unveiled faces. People, we cannot fully keep the law. We are broken people living in a broken world. And there has been sometimes what comes out of my mouth, I'll be thinking about it as I try to go to sleep because I'm like, why did I say that? Or I'll do something. And it's not what I meant, but I still did it. I'm not perfect. There is nobody, if you think you're perfect, you're in the wrong place. This isn't for perfect people. Jesus Christ wasn't for perfect people. He said he was for the sick. Church is supposed to be like a hospital. You come in, we'll get you hooked up with the Holy Spirit. We'll get you hooked up with the Word of God. We'll get our praise on, right? So that you can be transformed by what is being said. by the Holy Spirit, and then you get to leave. You get to leave and you get to go out there. It's not hospice. Church isn't hospice. You're not going to die here because you're perfect. You got to get better. It's a transformation that's ongoing. And you get to leave and then you get to go tell somebody your story. That's the freedom. That's the freedom of Jesus Christ in the Spirit. We're not bound. The law could reveal sin, but it could not change a person from within. That's what the Israelites' problem was. They were not being transformed from within. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Of course, we have to do our part. We have to acknowledge it. We have to know what the Word of God says. You know, sometimes that guilt feeling, we try to run from it. We don't want to feel guilt. We just want to feel the good stuff. I don't want to be told about my sin. I don't want to feel bad about my sin. I just want to be told Jesus came and he's great and he's my savior and I'm a good person. That's what I want to hear. Well, you don't change. And see, that's the whole point of Christ dying on the cross was for our redemption. And redemption is we change our path. Jesus changes our path. We allow him to get into our lives, get into our heart, get into our spirit, and we change a direction. And through Christ, the veil is removed, and we are given the Spirit who shapes us into the image of Christ, transforming us, transforming our behavior. We should have a change in behavior, a change of speaking, a change of thought. And there's sometimes, don't get me wrong, there's sometimes I'm driving, things come out of my mouth. Like you would not have thought I've been transformed. But I am quick now. I am quick to be like, seriously, Haley, like calm down. Like it is not that big of a deal. You live in Newark. You don't live in Columbus. You don't live in a big city. You live in Newark. Calm down. That's what I'm talking about. You still have that human tendency, right? You still have that humanness, that brokenness where you react. You know you're going from glory to glory. You know that you're being transformed. When you look in and you're like, oh, yeah, that wasn't what I should do. I shouldn't have said it. Why am I getting that mad about it? You're getting better. And sometimes we may not even see the change right away. You know, for some people, it's like all of a sudden, boom, I stopped doing drugs. Right then, when I gave my life to Jesus Christ, right then, I stopped. Or I stopped drinking, or I stopped looking at pornography, or, you know. And sometimes, listen, sometimes it does not work that way. Glory to God when it does. Praise Jesus, hallelujah. Thank you for doing that. But sometimes it isn't that instant. Sometimes you gotta claw your way through it. But it's in order for us to truly become that image, to have that unveiled heart to his truth, to truly be free, to truly be transformed, because there's something that he wants to do inside of you, and you're worth it to him. He's not gonna let you go. He wants you to keep digging. Keep looking to him. Keep struggling because it's him that's going to get you through it, not anything you're going to do. I've tried to do it my own way. And our last scriptures from the Gospel of Luke, and it's chapter 9, verses 28, and it's on the transfiguration. And it says about 8 days after this conversation, he took Peter, John, and James and went up to the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. And suddenly two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. And Peter and those with him were in a deep sleep, And when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who were standing with him. And as the two men were departing from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us set up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he should say. And while he was saying this, a cloud appeared and overshadowed them. And they became afraid, and as they entered the cloud, a voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, the chosen one. Listen to him." Peter, James, and John saw that transfiguration of Jesus, that glory on Jesus. And it wasn't that it just came upon him. It was being revealed. It was already there inside of him, and now it was showing. See it physically, you could see it. It was already there. That divine radiance speaking with Moses and Elijah, and they were overwhelmed. And Peter wanted to build shelter. Now, when you get on top of a mountain, you're feeling good, aren't you? You're feeling good in the neighborhood. You're looking down, and you're like, "This is good." And you just want to plant there. You want to put up some shelter there, don't you? Like, you've worked so hard for this. And that's what Peter wanted to do. Peter wanted to stay there. This wasn't the first time that the discussion of the cross happened, because it says that Moses and Elijah was talking to Jesus about what was coming, and Peter didn't want it to happen. He said, "God forbid it, Lord. God forbid it." He knew what was coming when he walked down that mountain. He didn't understand it. He didn't want to believe it. But he knew something was coming, and he wanted to put up shelter, because he knew once he started back down that mountain, it was going to get tough. That experience was not meant to be frozen in time, but to prepare for a journey. To prepare you for a journey. When you allow that experience to transform you, to be more like Christ. That mountaintop moment, and even the moments where you're down and you're digging through it. And I can tell you, at the time in this church, if I had not been continually transformed by the Holy Spirit, because it was not by my work, though you can't do it. I think I've said that before. I'm going to say that again. You can't do it. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ that you are transformed. And let me tell you, if I had not been transformed through the church, through the Holy Spirit being here in the presence of Christ and our Father God, I would not have been able to get through what I had been through. Because what I learned, what I allowed to transform me, and it, you know, it's hit or miss with sermons, right? I'm not saying every Sunday I walked in here and I was like, "Whoa, I felt the Holy Spirit." I didn't do that every Sunday. There were some Sundays I did. I sure did on Christmas Eve when I gave my life to Christ. And I said, "I just don't want you to take a piece of my heart. I want you to take all of it." Every time Catherine would take me to a women's conference, every year we'd go to Women of Faith. If I had not allowed what they taught me in our discussions to transform me, you could have just kissed me goodbye 10 years ago, 12 years ago. You could have kissed me goodbye. I would have given up. I would have been like, "Okay, I'm done. I'm out." But he loves us so much that he sends the Holy Spirit to convict us. You know, he was telling me, and I look back now and I see it, he's telling me, "You're going to need this for that. You're going to go through some stuff, girl. I need you to take this because you're going to need it then." That's the difference. From staying on top, settling down, not experience anything, to really getting what God wants to show you, and you walk in faith, and it may be down that mountain, but guess what? He's going to use it for a purpose, and it's always going to be to give him back the glory. It's going to reflect him, because it's not just for you. And we, you know, God is good to you. You are. You are blessed. You are blessed and highly favored. Yes, you are. But why? Because of God. Because of Jesus Christ. That's why. It's not because of you. And he wants you to tell somebody about that. Amen? This experience, it's not meant to be permanent, but in preparation for us. Disciples had to come back down the mountain because their faith would be tested. It would be tested on Golgotha. It would be tested as some of them saw Jesus on the cross, dying for the sins of the world, completing his mission that they didn't understand, and they thought that was the end. They thought, all this is done. They didn't allow what Jesus had been telling them to transform them. They didn't even think about it. They forgot. And they're depressed. They scatter. They're afraid. And that's not the end. And it's not the end for you this morning. Where you're at, it is not the end. Allow him to transform you. Accept him into your heart if you have not already. It's not the end. He's been preparing you for such a time as this, where you look back and you can see God just coming after you, Jesus chasing after you. And this morning, as we reflect on the meaning of Ash Wednesday, we prepare our hearts to be transformed during this time of Lent. Lent, 40 days before Easter. You know, and some people fast, like, you know, they give up their favorite thing, carbs, energy drinks, chocolate. Some people, you know, you give up something. Some people add something. You know, you're going to do something nice for somebody every day. The point of all of it, it's getting you closer to Jesus Christ. And that's the question you need to ask yourself. Are you just doing something because it's good Christianology? Yeah, I gave up chocolate for Lent. Is it making you look like Jesus? For these next 40 days, are you journeying to the cross with him to get that point, that man, that impact of what he did for you on Good Friday? And then the joy, the expectation, the glory of Easter Sunday. That's the 40 days. That's what we do when we do Ash Wednesday. We look at that. We never want to treat it that it's ordinary. And I never want to look at somebody's life that's been transformed by Jesus Christ like, yeah, I see it all the time. No, you know what, church? We may. God has blessed us so much that we have seen it a lot. We have seen lives changed, redeemed through Jesus Christ a lot. Praise God, because he's still working here. That's not ordinary to me. Divine moments. And when we come to the table, the communion table, we don't take the bread and the cup as, you know, every first Sunday, this is what we do, but as that mindset, a reminder of the love that changed everything. God's love that changed everything is what we're looking at when we come to the table, where the bread is broken, representing Jesus's body broken, his blood that was poured out to us. Look what love does. And that's God's love, what he does for us. Let that transform you. That should transform you every time. Every time. A reminder. We look at what Christ did, we look what he's doing, and we're looking forward to what he's going to do, what he's continuing to do in our lives. Amen? We're going to pray, and part of the prayer, we're going to be dedicating the extra communion plates that we have. We needed one to put our empties in, right? So Paul is dedicating our new plates to Marion and to Helen, which are their parents. So the saints that have gone before us, remembering them, remembering the lives changed. We're all here because someone from here either invited us or God, just like James, spoke to him out on the street and said, that church is where you need to go. And he's here. And it keeps coming back. It keeps coming back. You know, but we're all here either by the Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, or someone that comes here, told you to come here and invited you here. So we're going to dedicate that to the saints, to Marion and Helen. So let's prepare our hearts, let's prepare our minds to celebrate Ash Wednesday and to celebrate the Lord's table. We thank you, Lord, your sacrifice, the gift of your presence when we come to this table that you prepared for us, because it says in your word you are present. And that new covenant that you brought that doesn't fade, it endures. And as we have this moment together, this time, and that we're abiding in you, that your Holy Spirit is here working in us, that we get up, we walk in faith, trusting in your promise and living that out and the transformation that you're doing. And I say that in faith, that I believe you're doing a transformative work, that you are not done. Individually, you're not done, but as a church, you're not done transforming us. Because there has been times where people have been like, you know what, we're good with what we're doing. We're going to stay right here. And you said, no, 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 no. Mm-mm. You got to transform to be something different. And I thank you so much for the work that you did in this church, that you continue to do in this church, for being that representation of what love does, what your love does, the transformation that Christ does in lives, to this community, to this area, that you broaden our boundaries to continue to show it, and that it's going to be radiant, that it shines out as an example to your glory. And Lord, we take the bread and let it be the body of Christ that is broken for us. Take the cup as your blood that was poured out for us. And we remember the saints, Marion and Helen. Lord, thank you so much for their life and their testimony. The two mothers that brought us Paula and Paul, Lord, that instilled in them you, your love, your church. We benefit from that so much, Lord. And we just thank you and praise you and bless you. And we dedicate these communion cups, these communion trays, Lord, in their name. As we receive the ashes and we say, from dust you came, to dust you return, repent and believe in the gospel. That's the transformation, that we repent. The Holy Spirit empowers us to change direction towards the cross, because the cross is what changed everything. Jesus Christ changed everything, and that we allow that to happen within us so it can be shown through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you need a transformation, if you're going through a transformation, or you need Jesus, there's no time like the present. Amen. Now, I have to tell you a funny story. Pastor Jeff was so good at the ash. He burnt the palms from the year before. And there's been a couple times, I'm going to be honest with you, I had to buy them because I don't know how to do that. And I want to thank the girls. They burnt the palms for us from last year. But, you know, he did the oil in it and he prayed over it. And I did that too. But there was one time when he did it, he made it too runny. Do you remember? And they were all running. And I'm always afraid when I do it, like I'm going to be an amateur and they're going to know this is like not every time. I've not done this for a long time like he did. And they're all going to have streaked crosses down their face. So forgive me. I hope, I don't think it will, but I think about that every time that I do the ashes is the one time Pastor Jeff put too much oil in it. So, Lord, we come now, prepare us to receive that message. We are dust, to dust we return, repent and remember the gospel that says you died for us, your blood shed for us, for our forgiveness, but you rose up out of that grave for our redemption through Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to live with unveiled faces, reflecting your glory in our daily life. Don't let us just come here to have this experience and leave not transformed, not being glorified by you. Let us reflect you.
something that dwells within us. And when these emotions fade, let our faith remain. When our awe fades, let trust take root. And when that moment passes, Lord, I pray that we're transformed by it. We may not just be people of this moment or of a moment, but people ongoing, ongoing in our renewal, ongoing in our obedience, ongoing in our faith, ongoing and going from glory to glory. Fill us with your Spirit, Lord. Help us to walk with you, not just on the mountaintops, not just in the high places, but when you're taking us down. Those ordinary moments, but also those moments that we walk into, we're going to have to dig our heels down in the valley. That transformation still continues. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. But when you leave here, act like you have a daddy who cares and a savior who died for you on the cross. Amen. And these next 40 days, don't just make them ordinary 40 days. How are you reflecting Jesus? How's your life reflecting Jesus? Do something that reflects Jesus. Amen. It's going to mean more on Easter. If you do it, it's going to mean more. I promise.